Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game in parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to win $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 235, we're up to already. Let's send it out to my co-host's favorite baseball team, the Philadelphia Phillies, who are only 2 wins away from winning the World Series, and that will definitely warm my co-host's heart, his cold, cold heart. Like I said, he's a closeted Phillies fan. I just outed him on that. But this is not a baseball podcast, as we've said many times before. This is the MMA podcast. More specifically, this week, this is a UFC Fight Night podcast, as most of our episodes are. We have a Fight Night Rodriguez versus Lemos going down this weekend from the UFC Apex, as per usual. I'm going to bring in my co-host now without giving him too much to riff on. You may know him as the Gumby God. If you follow his picks and he wins you money, you bow to the altar of the Gumby God. It's the Daniel Vreeland, Danny V, Gumby, whatever you want to call him. Here he is. Hello.
So you did give me something to work with. You messed up a pronunciation before we even really got started. Away.
It's Rodriguez Lemos, right? That's what Rodriguez Lemos is.
I'm sure there will be more than one announcer saying Rodriguez and Lemos.
Yeah, you think it'd be Lemos, not Lemos?
I like lemon.
It'll be Lemos. Lemos, you're right.
Lemos, especially if it's DC. And I think I saw we got the esteemed team of DC and Cruz this weekend. Which, by the way,
God,
those guys
won't be listening.
Yeah, those guys love each other. It's a good idea to keep putting them out. I also saw, you might have heard this as well, or maybe you didn't because you don't. When they kick it over to the desk and there's usually like Karen Bryan and Anthony Smith saying something fairly intelligent. This time instead, do you want to take a stab at who will be there?
No, but it's not going to be someone intelligent the way you're headed, the way this is headed. So go right ahead and tell.
I want you to think about like maybe your top two or three worst options. You don't have to say them out loud. You can just keep them in your head if you want. And now I'm going to tell you the answer is Juliana Pena.
Oh yes, I did see that. Yeah, she's another one of those galaxy brains. That's great. Yeah, this will work very well.
I will say she's done play by play or color. I can't remember which one for Combate when I was watching one time. And it wasn't awful, but I will say I do think I like her much better commentating on fights that are happening as they're happening than I think I would an analytic lens. Because some of the things I've heard her say, especially like here's the part that bothers me the most about her. It's like in the Ultimate Fighter house, anytime she was like talking to one of her fighters about a fight, a lot of times, and maybe they just don't show the actual technical breakdown, a lot of the times her breakdown was like, you have the willpower. And it was like, you can actually have more than that, though, because it's sports.
Yeah, a bit more than that would definitely definitely help out. So we lost one of our favorite guys off this card, Gelatin Almeida. How many fights has he had fall off? It's ridiculous amount of fights, but he lost his fight with Maxim Grishin. Was it Grishin that pulled out?
Yeah, Grishin pulled out again.
Never Almeida.
It's crazy. But I will say, so far, he's been canceled four times, but it's with the same two opponents. Because he was supposed to debut against Maxim Grishin. Right after he came off of Contender Series. Oh no, that's not true. He actually had one with Danilo Marquez. That was his debut. But his second fight was supposed to be against Maxim Grishin. And then he pulled out, and that's why he fought Parker Porter, which was up at heavyweight, and that then proceeded to keep him up at heavyweight, where he was supposed to fight Abdurakhimov. That fight failed. He had to fight a late replacement who is then down a weight class, which is a weird move. And then since then, has had fights canceled with, get this, Abdurakhimov and Grishin again. And now he's booked to fight Abdurakhimov again.
He is. Yeah. And he's a guy who can fight at two different weight classes. You think he'd have no trouble finding fights at light heavyweight or heavyweight, but no. Instead, he's getting weird catchweight fights that fall through in the anyhow. So yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, I think it's partially just that they want to move him forward. Him beating the shit out of Anton Turkali, like, what does that do for him? Nothing. So they got to find somebody like an Abdurakhimov that he can build his name off of.
Yep. Well, his name is definitely getting built up here because we're always talking about him, even though he constantly is having fights fall through. So that fight fell off. And then obviously our original main event was supposed to be Bryce Mitchell versus Movsar Ebelev. That fell off. There was rumors it was going to be Mitchell and Ilya Topuria. But that actually is going to happen. But that's what, UFC 280? Is that happening yet? Yeah.
It's the one in January, if I'm not mistaken.
Because the UFC is all about loading up the pay-per-views, and they don't really care too much about the fight nights. But regardless, we get 12 fights on this card. Some decent fights, decent matchups. We are going to break down the 7-fight prelims. We better get jumping then if we're doing 7 fights here. 7-fight prelims this episode. And then we'll do the main card next episode. Give us some room to stretch out and Gumby always has good long-winded analysis of fights. So we don't want to cut him short ever. And we don't want to make you listen for 5 hours either. So that's why we break it into two. So before we jump into it, I'm going to tell you about, of course, WynnBET. They're always there in our corner supporting us. Ready to win money and boost your odds. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Wynn Rewards on WynnBET. Be on the lookout for the WynnBET Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern. During WynnBET Win Hour, marquee games of the week, we'll have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100 and win $100. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. So they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Plus, the Sports Gambling Podcast, that's us, is giving you a chance to win your choice of either an autographed Lawrence Taylor or autographed Brian Dawkins jersey. The contest is completely free to enter. All you have to do is head over to that YouTube place, youtube.com/, here's the important part, Sports Gambling Podcast. So youtube.com/Sports Gambling Podcast. Comment on a video, and each video that you comment on is a chance to win in the contest. And make sure you turn your notifications on so you don't miss out when we announce the winner, because it could very well be you, and you wouldn't want to miss out on that. All right. Don't want to miss out on some winners this week either, because we have, as I mentioned, a fight night, UFC fight night, Rodriguez versus Lemos, UFC Vegas 64 is called in some quarters. It's going down this Saturday, November 5th. Main prelims, 4 p.m. Eastern. Eastern, ESPN Plus. Main card, 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Plus. Start off women's bantamweights. The debut in Tamiris Vidal versus Ramona Pascual. She's still in the UFC, girl. Sorry about Pascual first. She's 6-4, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been knocked out once, submitted once. 0-2 in the UFC, 1-0 in Invicta. Used to fight up at featherweight. That's where her UFC, well, at least one, was both of her fights featherweight? We looked that up last show, and I can't remember.
She fought both of them at featherweight, for okay. Sure. Yep.
2 inches taller than Vidal, plus 120. Vidal's nickname's Trattora. Do you know what Trattora is, Dan?
Yes, that's tractor.
Yes, I guess the female tractor, because Trattora is tractor.
Oh, yeah, Tiago Trattora.
Yes. So I guess they have a female tractor, too. Is that what?
Yeah, I mean, there are gendered nouns in different languages. It's not an English thing, but it shows up in other languages.
There you go. So she's a female tractor. She's 6-1. That might be a good title, actually. Female tractor. Okay. Just in case I need an extra title for here. All right. Vidal is 6-1 with 2 submissions. She's been submitted one time. This is her debut, as I mentioned. She's coming in on the strength of 5 straight wins. Mostly against pretty solid competition as well. She won her last fight via submission. She used to fight at featherweight as well. She was a regional champ. Don't have reach info for her yet. We'll have to wait till the UFC gets their hands on or gets their tape measures on her. She's 10 years younger than Pascual, minus 140.
Yeah, so to your point about Vidal's strength of schedule, it has been very good. You know, she fought
Carol. Especially for like Brazil. Brazil regional stuff can be kind of sketchy, but her.
Yeah, well, and I think some of it is too, because if you look, not all of it is Brazilian. She fought the one who's on PFL there, Jandaroba or not Jandaroba, Jindrova, Martina Jindrova. She fought her in the Czech Republic. So she has like traveled around to fight to make sure she wasn't like strictly a Brazilian regional style fighter. And as a result, she's fought people like Carol Hossa, who is her only loss. She fought Jindrova, who I mentioned, that Aileen Perez, who had just made her debut in the UFC, although very unsuccessfully and looking
best featherweight in the world.
Yeah, she's not. and then like her last fight was a very impressive win over a boxer in LFA. So she has got a lot of chops. But let me tell you something that I noticed in watching her fight in LFA, and this is going to make a lot of people, you know, pump the brakes just a little bit before you look at negative 140 and you're like licking your chops. She gasses. She gasses, and she gasses hard, and she gasses early. And the reason is because she loads up on her punches a lot. If you watch that last fight with Quayla Braga, who is in LFA, and she's a former professional boxer and a damn good one, the entire first round is them slinging hands along with like the odd failed takedown attempt or two. And Vidal, she doesn't look like she's getting outclassed on the feet. She's definitely getting beat. Right, Braga is the better boxer, and she was an actual boxer, and she's outboxing her. But like Vidal is bringing heat, and when she does land, it looks like it lands hard. And then the second round comes around, and she just looks completely out of it. She looks tired. She looks exhausted. By some miracle, she winds up in a takedown. She gets mount on a boxer who doesn't have a lot of MMA experience. And like that boxer, like slowly shrimps her way back to being in like a half guard or maybe even close to a full guard. And luckily for Vidal, she falls back on a heel hook that the boxer just doesn't know what to do with. She can't get out of it. It's not particularly deep, but she still like freaks out and makes it worse. And Vidal wins the fight. So while I don't like Pascual enough to pick her, and I'm not going to pick Pascual here, I'm gonna pick Vidal, but I do want to give everybody who's like licking their chops and like hot 24-year-old prospect with multiple finishes on her record going in there to fight, you know, the UFC's punching bag. Remember that Pascual is very durable. Like she took a ton of huge punches from Josie Nunez. She wound up in some bad positions. She survived those. I do think there's a chance Pascual just like survives and looks better in the late rounds, because Vidal is going to gas out if she doesn't finish this in the first.
Yeah, Pascual does not get finished too often. She's been finished twice in 10 fights. So she's durable. I will give her that. She's also very, very not good. and Vidal is 10 years younger. So give me Vidal, but I will take your warning definitely before I consider this as a recommended play come tomorrow's episode. So we shall see. All right, let's move on to flyweights. Carlos Candelario versus Jake Hadley. Candelario, the cannon, is 8-2, two knockouts, three submissions, never been finished in a fight, 0-1 in the UFC, 1-1 on the Contender Series. He won a fight, didn't get a contract, lost a fight, got a contract. So there you go. Used to fight at bantamweight. He's an inch taller than Hadley. He's twice more active landing strikes based on their UFC and Contender Series fights. However, he has been outstruck by his UFC and Contender Series opponents by almost a strike a minute. It's -0.93 is his strike differential. The number on the boards for him is +220. Hadley, the White Kong, or just White Kong, actually. No, the. He's 8-1, two knockouts, four submissions, never been finished in a fight, 0-1 in the UFC, 1-0 in Contender Series, was the Cage Warriors champion, was also regional champion, 1-0 in Bellator, 2 inches reach on Candelario, 5 years younger. He's been outstruck over his UFC and Contender Series fights by 0.26 strikes per minute, -275. I'll give a pick Hadley in this one. We're chalking up his UFC debut as just Octagon jitters, because he has been quite impressive throughout his career up to that point. Candelario, not so much. So I'll take the bigger, younger, more talented Jake Hadley in this one easily. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to take Jake Hadley too. And I'll say this, even if you weren't to chalk up his loss against Alan Nascimento to ring rust or jitters or whatever you want to call it, like, I still think his body of work, even with that fight, gives me enough faith with Candelario. Candelario is a guy who has been really terrible defensively wrestling, really bad. If you go back to his first Contender Series fight, he gave up 8 takedowns to Ronaldo Candido, who's a, you know, not a bad grappler, but certainly not a good one either. And then obviously, you know, like the Tetsuya Tara fight, he just looked out of his element on the ground, and he did defend takedowns a little bit better there. But I really think Jake Hadley is going to have like a massive advantage when it comes to wrestling. We saw Hadley like manhandle Mitch Raposo on the mat in Contender Series. He even got some of his wrestling going against Luke Shanks back in Cage Warriors, which, you know, we talked about Luke Shanks on Sunday being a guy we like. So yeah, I think Hadley, even if you weren't going to say that it was, you know, mostly a fluke that he lost that first fight, I still got him here. I still think he's going to handle Candelario.
Yep, younger, more talented. He is my pick, as I said. Move on to bantamweights. Ludovic Shaolinian versus Johnny Munoz Jr. Shaolinian, nickname Palmeiros. I don't know what it means, and I guess Dan doesn't either.
I do not know.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that then. He's 9-2-1, one knockout, three submissions, never been finished in a fight, 0-1 in the UFC, 0-1 in Bellator, 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. He's an inch taller than Munoz. He's been outstruck over, it was just one fight. His UFC debut, short notice debut, mind you, he was outstruck by almost 5 strikes a minute, 4.86 in the negative is his strike differential, +195. Kid Kavembo is Munoz's nickname. He's 11-2. Two knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 1-2 in the UFC. He's got a loss, win, loss. So he's due for a win, according to my math. He did get knocked out his last fight. Used to fight up at featherweight. 3 years younger than Shaolinian. Striking stats in his favor, and he's over 2 times more active landing strikes, but we're talking very small sample size for Shaolinian. Munoz's strike differential in his UFC fights, in the positive, he's outstruck his opponents by 1.35 strikes per minute. Grappling stats are in his favor as well, -245.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Munoz here. I think the thing we've seen about Shaolinian, both in his time on the Ultimate Fighter and in the UFC, is just like, if he can be out-wrestled or have his wrestling stuffed, he's a fish out of water. And I think Johnny Munoz has got that in spades here. Like, Johnny Munoz is a guy who went toe-to-toe grappling with Nate Maness, who we'll talk about a little bit later on. I think if he can go toe-to-toe with Nate Maness, I don't think Shaolinian's going to give him any trouble. I think the grappling's there for Munoz. I actually think he's probably a better striker than Shaolinian. Like, he's just going to outclass him in every part of the game here. So give me Johnny Munoz.
Yep, I'll take the younger, more talented finisher. He finishes fights as well. So give me Munoz. Even though Shaolinian did get a dealt a bad hand to begin his career, short notice, Jack Shore and all that, but still. picking them to lose here again. Move on to the ladies again. We got four female fights on this fight night, which is nice. Women's strawweight, Pollyanna Viana versus Jin Yu Fry. We will tell you about the veteran Fry first. 11-7, one knockout, two submissions. She's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 2-3 in the UFC. She lost her last fight, but it was very controversial. Split decision. All people in the know basically thought she won the fight. She was 7-2 in Invicta and the champion there. She has missed, that was at Atomweight. She has missed weight in the past. I believe that was at Atomweight as well. I don't think she's going to miss weight up at strawweight. She's been outstruck over her five UFC fights by a strike a minute, -1.01 to be exact, +120 the number on her. Viana, Dama de Ferro, which means, Dama, do you remember?
De Ferro. It's got to be, I don't know, Firewoman?
Iron Lady.
Iron Lady. Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
Just kind of like Marina Moroz is an iron thing too, is she not?
Yeah, she's the Iron Lady.
Yes. All right. Well, Viana's the Iron Lady as well. 12-5, four knockouts, eight submissions. So she's finished all of her wins. She's been submitted one time, 3-4 in the UFC. However, she's gone 2-1 over her last three, but she did lose her last fight. She's fight up at flyweight. She was a jungle fight champion before this. 2 inches taller, 2 inches of reach on Fry as well. 7 years younger. Striking stats are in her favor. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by about half a strike per minute, +0.56. Grappling stats in her favor as well, -140.
Did my turn on this one?
Let me see. You did the first.
Not yours.
Second is mine. As much as I like Jin Yu Fry, I'm taking Pollyanna Viana in this one. And we all thought Fry did win her last fight, but Viana's bigger. She's younger. She's a better striker, and she finishes fights. So I like her in this fight to beat Jin Yu Fry.
I don't, and here's okay. Why. She doesn't beat anybody she can't armbar. Just straight up. Like, and I don't just mean that in her last fight. I mean, like, that's going back through her, like, time in jungle fight, too. Like, if she can't armbar you, she's done. And we've seen it not work on people like J.J. Aldrich and Hannah Cyphers. And granted, the most recent loss to Tabitha Ricci. You know, like that doesn't deter me. Like, Tabitha Ricci's a beast. But you know, when you see it not work against Hannah Cyphers, who can largely just like quell your attack and make you look bad off your back, and same with JJ Aldrich, I think Jin Yu Fry can copy that enough. I think Jin Yu Fry is smart enough, strong enough, good enough in the clinch and staying out of grappling exchanges to not wind up in those spots against Pollyanna Viana. So like, if Viana is only winning fights she can finish, nobody's finishing Jin Yu Fry. And if you look at the last fights that have gone to decision for Pollyanna Viana, none of them have gone well. The last four fights she's fought that have gone to decision, she's lost because she just doesn't look sharp on the feet when she's on the feet, and she gives up bad positions. And Jin Yu Fry is somebody who takes advantage of both of those things.
All right, we are differing on something for a change. So, well, not for a change, for this episode. So, all right, that'll make it a bit more interesting watching the prelims. Let's move on to bantamweights. In the male side, Mario Bautista versus Benito Lopez. We got Lopez, the golden boy, 10-1, three knockouts, two submissions. He's been submitted one time. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He's got win, loss, win. However, he's not fought since July of 2019. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series, 1-0 in Bellator. Inch of height, 4 inches reach on Bautista. He has been outstruck in the UFC by -0.31 strikes per minute, +240. And Bautista, 10-2, three knockouts, four submissions, been knocked out once, submitted once. So he's been finishing both his losses. 4-2 in the UFC. However, he's won two straight, lost one via submission. He used to fight up at featherweight. Striking and active striking stats are in his favor, meaning he lands more strikes. That's what the active one means. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.31 strikes per minute. He's got grappling stats in his favor as well over Lopez, -305.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Mario Bautista here, and pretty comfortably too, because here's the fact about Benito Lopez is that even before Benito Lopez had this ridiculously long layoff, which is already making me want to fade him, right? Like, he's been gone for 3 years. even before this 3-year layoff from Benito Lopez, he had issues with the grappling. He got badly out grappled by Manny Bermudez, wound up being submitted very quickly in that fight. And if you want to go back to his time on Contender Series, he did win against Steven Peterson, but was like largely on his heels for a lot of that fight and had been taken down a couple of times. He wound up winning a split decision in that case because of the amount of time he spent off of his back. The thing we know about Mario Bautista is he's not only got dynamite in his hands, but he's shown that he is very adept at the ground, right? Like, we saw him beat the hell out of Jay Perrin there. We saw him submit Brian Kelleher in no time. You know, like, he is exceptional on the ground. The only two losses he's had, he got caught by Corey Sandhagen in an armbar as he took him down, and he got popped by Trevin Jones in the early part of the second round. So unless somebody goes out there and kind of like surprises him and finishes him, he's not losing fights either. And then here we have Benito Lopez, a guy who hasn't finished anybody in like half a decade. So like, it's really hard for me to lean with Benito Lopez here, knowing his problems with grappling and knowing the fact that Mario Bautista has just got all of the things that usually give him trouble.
Yep. I'm not taking a guy who's been out for 3 years, and I think Bautista is better than him to begin with. So Bautista is the pick. Back to the women now. Women's flyweight, Miranda Maverick versus Shanna Young. This was originally scheduled at UFC 278, but Young ended up in the hospital with the weight cutting issue. So that was quite a long time ago, but they have rescheduled here. So Shanna, the Shanimal Young, 8-4, 2 knockouts, 3 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted once, 1-2 in the UFC, won her last fight via TKO. 1-1 in Invicta, 1-0 on the Contender Series. Used to fight at bantamweight. Was the King of the Cage champion. She's 4 inches taller than Maverick. She's been outstruck over her UFC career by about a strike and a half a minute, minus 1.48 strikes to be exact, plus 455. Miranda, fear the Maverick. 10-4, 1 knockout, 6 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 3-2 in the UFC. However, she's gone 1-2 over her last 3, won her last fight via submission. She was 6-2 in Invicta. Used to fight down at strawweight. She's 6 years younger than Young. Striking stats in her favor. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by almost a strike a minute, plus 0.93 to be exact, minus 655. Don't like the number, but I like the fighter, Miranda Maverick. Going to get all physical on Young and dominate this fight.
Yeah, I'll also add that I don't like the numbers.
Worse than it was. I think it was like 600 when we broke it down the first time they were scheduled.
Yeah, I think that this is a troublesome number in a bunch of different ways. Like, the biggest one being that, like, I don't know, Shannon Young is a very physical person, so it's hard for me to just sit here and think, like, oh, you know, Shannon Young should have no problem here, or Miranda Maverick Roberts should have no problem here, because, you know, Shannon Young does pose a lot of problems. But at the end of the day, I just can't even imagine backing Shannon Young, even if I really wanted that plus 460 number, because you know, she's just not very good anywhere other than with her physicality. She's not even a great striker. I think Maverick can probably outstrike her if she wants to. So, yeah, give me Maverick at that number.
Boom. Main event of the prelims. Featherweights, Derek Minner versus Shailin Nurdambiki. Minner, 26-13. He is a veteran. 1 knockout, 22 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 8 times. He's 2-3 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight. Was a regional champion, used to fight at bantamweight, used to fight at lightweight. He's missed weight 5 times in the past. 2012, he's been a pro MMA fighter since. Striking and active striking stats are in his favor over Nurdambiki. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.63 strikes per minute. Grappling stats are in his favor also over Nurdambiki, plus 175, the number on him. Nurdambiki is the Wolverine, 38-10. He is a veteran as well, 18 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 6 times. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He dropped his debut and then 1-2 straight. Used to fight at bantamweight, used to fight at lightweight, used to fight at welterweight. He's 1 inch taller than Minner, 4 years younger. He's been outstruck by 1.09 strikes per minute, minus 215, the number on the Wolverine, Nurdambiki.
My turn?
Your turn.
I'm going dog here. I like Derek Minner.
Damn
Minner.
You.
Oh, you're riding with me again.
Yeah, I guess it's actually good. So, yes, yeah. I feel better with my pick. Yes, Minner, a very obvious, very clear grappling advantage here.
Yeah, and so here's the thing. I think Shailin, and this is probably why he's going in as a favorite, Nurdambiki has good grappling, like quite good grappling, I would add. Like, if you watched him, the fight that sticks out to me is when he fought Josh Koulibaly. he was having a little bit of trouble with the striking of Quilibau. He went to the grappling and he had some really great moments. Now he wound up losing that fight. He followed that up with just like manhandling Sean Soriano on the mat. But the thing that's worth noticing is like Sean Soriano, a dude who had lots of trouble in the UFC, actually did score 2 takedowns against Sterdambeek and won a round. Maybe the only round Sean Soriano has ever won in the UFC. Cause he was like, what was he like? Was he 0-5? I think he was 0-5 in the UFC. And then you see him turn around and he fought a guy like TJ Brown. TJ Brown, again, a grappling type dude, took him down in one round and beat him. And not only that is some of the time Nurdambeek showed on the, when he was on top in the grappling, he almost got armbarred in the first round. That armbar was in tight. He had to pick up TJ Brown and kind of like shake him off and try to drop him on his head to get out of that armbar. TJ Brown is not as good of a submission threat as Derek Minner is. Derek Minner, that dude jumps on necks and finishes people. You know, he's looked incredible doing so. He's a better grappler than people give him credit for. The dude went to the ground with Ryan Hall and survived, right? Like he chose to go to the ground with Ryan Hall. There's something to be said for that. I think he goes in here, he takes this fight to the ground, and I think he probably even subs Shayulan.
Ooh, really spicy. Dan, doesn't the plus 175 is not enough for you? You're gonna say it's a submission too. It wouldn't be a shock. Minner's got 22 submission wins and Nurdabiki's been submitted 6 times. So yeah, well, we're both in on the dog here, and maybe Dan, tomorrow's podcast, maybe Dan will have a prop for you.
Or if it's not one
of your recommended plays, you can say.
You might see it in there.
Oh boy. We'll have to wait and see till tomorrow then, because that's all we got for you today. That's a compact episode. Got it in before any kids barged in and interrupted me, which was the key. So, all right, as I said, we'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, back in your ears with the main card, recommended plays, and a 2-fight parlay that's going to win you at least 10 times your money, because it's going to hit this week. Gumby guarantees it. Until then, get in the Discord if you're not already. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. It's a fun place to be. Even if you don't want to talk fights, you can talk. Well, if you're listening to this, you want to talk fights, but you can talk a bunch of other stuff in there too. SGPN MMA is the Twitter account Gumby runs for us. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He's at Gumby Vreeland. Read all our lovely writings on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You can read my MMA writing at moneymma.substack.com. I'm trying to build up the subscriber numbers there. You don't even have to pay. If you just want to get a free subscription, that is cool as well. Get in there and enter the Pick'em contest at the very least. This week, you're getting a $50 gift card to anywhere in the world that you would like if you win the UFC Pick'em contest. So get in there, have some fun. And Dan's Top Turtle MMA podcast. I haven't seen it in my feed yet this week. Who do we got on this week?
So we're actually talking with two of the guys we already talked about this week. First, I got Jake Hadley on to talk about his fight with Candelario. And then we got Johnny Munoz on to talk about his fight with Ludovic Shaolinian.
Good. And we picked both of them to win. So that's always convenient when that happens as well. So make sure you listen to that, subscribe to that, subscribe and rate this podcast as well. Obviously, give us some lovely reviews. And you can give Dan's Top Turtle some reviews too, if you like, as long as they're glowing reviews. All right. As I said, we will be back tomorrow, Thursday. Till then, I will remain Dama DeFerro. He will remain Kid Kavembo, Gumby Vreeland, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.